You're listening to the Adventure RX podcast, and I'm your host, Steve Reichert. Guys, I want to just take a quick second to let you know that the audio that you're about to hear in this podcast is ripped from a series of five videos that I posted on our YouTube channel, which is also called Adventure RX. So I hope you enjoy this series and that you will subscribe and continue following along with the work that we're doing to empower life with type 1 diabetes, because adventure is great medicine. So today I'm starting off my blood sugar around 125. This is about 35 points higher than it normally is because last night my blood sugar was low and I overcorrected. Now you might be rolling your eyes thinking, 125 is not an overcorrection, that's not a high blood sugar. I want to clarify that that is higher than normal, so it's just changing the way that I'm starting my day. I'm not losing my mind over a blood sugar of 125. When I wake up in the morning, I am not very hungry. Right now it's like almost 10 a.m. So the first thing I need to do, I need to take some basal insulin and I'm gonna make some coffee and I might make an egg. Like, so I'm kind of hit or miss with breakfast, honestly, because once I drink coffee and I put some coconut oil in that, I'm not usually very hungry. And I'll take a unit of insulin or so to cover the coffee and the coconut oil. And sometime around noon is typically when I wind up eating. But to me, I just go with based on how I feel. If I'm a little more hungry, I'll have an egg or two and a piece of bacon. So we'll see how I'm feeling this morning and see what makes sense to eat. Typically too exacting with my measurement here of the MCT oil. I just put in like a decent squeeze, which is probably like between 1 and 2 tablespoons, somewhere around the recommended serving. You know, like I don't go overboard on it and fill it all the way up because I don't want a huge oil slick on the coffee, but that's enough to give me a nice boost of energy and also fill me up. Everybody is different about what they like to put in their coffee in terms of keto coffee or bulletproof coffee, as it's called. I like to use heavy cream and coconut oil or MCT oil because that gives me enough of a boost and enough ketogenic fat to help start the production of ketones. And it tastes good. Some people like to use grass-fed butter that's unsalted. Some people like to use a whole bunch of different things. For me, the heavy cream and some ketogenic fat in the coffee is sufficient to get my day started, and I feel like it tastes good. When you have access to a blender, actually blending this concoction up instead of just stirring it, like you can see there, it kind of looks like frog eggs on the surface. I promise you, it doesn't taste that bad. It actually doesn't taste bad at all. It just is like oil, and the oil doesn't really have much of a flavor that adversely affects the coffee. But if you put it in a blender, you can actually skip the heavy cream and just add a little extra coconut oil. And when you blend it together, the coffee actually, it emulsifies the oil, and the coffee actually looks like you put cream in it, even though you don't have any dairy in it whatsoever. The only downside to that is that it requires a blender, and a blender is more cleanup and more work. And right now, that is the work that I have cut out for me right in there today. So I am looking to keep this pretty low maintenance, and honestly, to give you a pretty honest reflection of what I eat on a typical day. And most of the time, I'm not going out of my way to do anything fancy or to add any steps. I'm trying to keep it simple and repeatable. And I think when you talk about what type of foods you're gonna eat on a diet like this, you're gonna set yourself up for success if you can make your diet easily repeatable. Before I eat anything or drink any coffee, I have to take some insulin because that is always going to be part of my day. So I'm taking 14 units of my basal insulin, which I'm taking Tresiba. It's a once a day insulin. So since my blood sugar is a little on the higher side this morning, it's over 100, I'm gonna take 1 unit of Humalog of rapid acting insulin. My total daily dose counting my basal insulin at this point is up to 15 units.
Would you like some eggies?
Yeah. Lilo's requested some eggs, so since I'm making them for her, I'm gonna make a couple for myself as well. So I'm a little bit hungry this morning, so figure we'll go for it. I know that the keto diet and even the paleo diet are oftentimes synonymous with ODing on bacon and just going nuts. Personally, I don't like to eat huge amounts of bacon. I think bacon makes a really nice additive to any other meal or other dishes that I'm making. Add some really nice flavor, but I'm a little bit leery about adding in huge amounts of any one particular type of food. Bacon has a decent amount of fat, but honestly, there's, you know, easier ways to get fat if you're just looking for a mechanism, because just putting the coconut oil in the coffee, you can get more fat much more quickly that way than eating a bunch of bacon. And with coffee, you're not getting any protein, you're not getting anything else in there that could knock you out of ketosis. So typically speaking, my meals are small even when they involve bacon. I did just have a spoonful of almond butter. This is fresh store ground almond butter that I get from the place just up the road. I can walk to it from my mother-in-law's place where I am right now in Massachusetts. And it's delicious. It's just ground almonds. Usually while I'm cooking, I will have either some cashews, some nuts. Sometimes I'll have a little bit of cheese. I'll cut up a few pieces of cheese. I'll eat that while I'm making my breakfast, and then, you know, the remainder of the cheese I'll just throw on the eggs. Or a little bit of almond butter is nice too. It tastes delicious and it's still pretty low carb. You got to be careful and kind of take small spoonfuls, because almond butter and peanut butter does have a decent amount of carbohydrates in it. It's like 7 to 8 grams a serving usually. So if you're really going to town on that, you might be getting more protein and more carbohydrate than what you think. So I'm gonna throw a little bit of this cheese on my eggs, snack on a little bit of it as well. Right now my blood sugar is 139. So I may take another unit of insulin, I may not. This cheese, Coastal Cheddar cheese, is amazing. It is the best cheese in my mind, and in my diet also. Three eggs, one of them is for Lilo, two of them are for me. Yeah, Lilo, you're gonna get one of these eggs and she'll get one of the pieces of bacon as well. And I usually take most of the mushrooms because that's my prerogative as the cook. This is actually a pretty large breakfast for me typically. Two eggs, a piece of bacon, some mushrooms, and I'm gonna throw some kale on that, just add a little bit of greens into the mix and a little bit of coconut oil, and that will be about as big a breakfast as I will ever eat. There is the almost finished product. Got a handful of kale there, and I'm just drizzling some olive oil on that and on the eggs just for a little bit of additional good fat. So I'm gonna just give it a couple minutes for the kale to get steamed a little bit and the cheese to finish melting. And breakfast will be in the bag. Okay, so about an hour or so after eating, I noticed that my blood sugar is 135 with an angled arrow upwards. So I'm gonna take 1 unit just to smooth that off a little bit. Having a delayed increase that is fairly gentle in blood sugar is something that I'm used to when you are eating the protein, and that's kicking in usually somewhere about an hour after your meal. And so So I notice my blood sugar starting to rise. This is the protein from the eggs and bacon starting to kick in, about an hour since I've eaten. So I'm gonna take one unit just to kind of smooth this off and bring me back down. And that will be my second unit of rapid acting insulin for the day. Okay, let's check in with the blood sugar and have a little snack here. I'm at 117, and if we zoom this out a little bit further, you can see that since this morning I haven't been over 150, so it's stayed pretty close to what my target range is, and I've taken two units of insulin, and right now, honestly, I am not hungry. I have no desire to eat. What I am having right now is a slightly different kind of snack for a different kind of reason. This is bouillon. So this is just a packet of bouillon in warm water, and it's like 90 degrees outside, so this is not the ideal weather for drinking like chicken soup out of a mug. But something interesting is happening to me. And when I say interesting, I mean somewhat unfortunate, because I think that I have been out of ketosis and I'm readapting. I'm going through the keto flu. And I promise that this was not an elaborate hoax to join everyone else out there in solidarity who may be experiencing the discomfort of the keto flu symptoms, but let me give you my best hypothesis of what happened. So, as I mentioned in some of the past videos, eating low carb does not necessarily make you keto adapted, because eating more protein than your body needs to maintain muscle mass will keep you out of ketosis. It's basically the same thing as eating a carb diet in terms of the way your body processes the energy. It just is a little bit easier to control the increases or the rise in glucose from eating protein, because it happens much more slowly than if you eat straight carbohydrates. So that's the benefit there. And as you may know, if you watch the vlog, and if you don't, you should subscribe. But my wife and I live in a little trailer, and most of the time we are out west, we're out on the road. And when we come back to Massachusetts, because Stephanie works as a flight attendant and she's based out of Boston, so right now our trailer is in Spokane, Washington, and we came back for a couple of weeks to do some work, see some family, and then we fly back out west and we're living on the road. And I think what must have happened is I have dropped out of ketosis. I've still been eating very low carb, but my fat intake decreased a lot when we were out on the road. And coming back here now, since I'm not climbing or doing anything really adventurous or traveling, and I'm just kind of around the house, I was decided to make these videos, and I've been motivated to take in more fat as part of that. And in the process of doing so, I'm encountering the keto flu and the whole adaptation process over again, because lo and behold, I have not been in ketosis, or at least not in deep enough ketosis to where my body was fully adapted. So I have been burning glucose in the form of protein that has been converted over the last couple of months. So I feel a little bit like a fraud talking about the keto diet. But honestly, that's partly why I mentioned that, you know, you can get really exemplary results without going full on keto. And I think this is a good reminder of how challenging it can be when you go through the keto flu, because if you don't have enough potassium and sodium and the minerals. And I actually was recently turned on to some new supplements that I'm going to link below here in the show notes for the video. You can bonk pretty hard and it sucks. So, you know, it's something to definitely consider and to be prepared for, I think, because my blood sugar is fine. Like, my blood sugar is, when I started feeling the symptoms of the keto flu, my blood sugar was great. It was like under 130, and no reason why I should feel like it was around 180. So I was kind of surprised when I looked at it, and I was like, oh yeah, I remember this. This is what happened the last time. So
it's easy to fall off the wagon with the keto diet too, which I guess is an important point. But back to the relevant issue at hand, which is what I eat in a given day. Honestly, I only eat when I'm hungry, and right now I'm really not hungry. I ate, you know, it's 3 p.m. right now. I ate breakfast around 9-10 o'clock in the morning. I may eat a little bit before I go to bed, like a small meal, like maybe a little something, but we'll see. You know, if I'm not hungry, I'm not going to eat. So, as and obviously assuming my blood sugar stays intact, that's a big part of it, you know, too. But for right now, I'm just having a little bit of beef bouillon in a mug because I need to get some sodium and potassium and hopefully get back into ketosis and get out of this awkward in-between unadapted phase, because it does not feel good. The way it feels for me anyways is just low energy, sluggish, kind of scratchy throat, felt like I was coming down with a cold, but not a real cold. And then also my stomach was bothering me, where it felt like my stomach was upset, almost like if you've ever been at altitude and had altitude sickness, and like, you know that you need to drink water or eat something in order to alleviate the problem, but you feel just a little bit nauseous to the point where your appetite is just shot, and it makes it a lot harder to do that, and you have to just kind of push through and drink some water. And ultimately it does improve things, and I did that, and I am feeling a little bit better now. And of course I'm following it with some electrolytes here in the form of some beef soup broth. So hopefully, you know, this little detour into reality will be useful as you're going through the process of figuring out where the keto diet fits into your management and life with type 1 diabetes. So because of the fact that this is an atypical day on a keto diet, and I don't want to spend the rest of my life doing vlogs about what I eat in the keto diet, like, you get the point, Google is out there. I want to answer questions, I want to share my experience, but my plan to take you through a day of my eating obviously has been derailed by the unforeseen, and that's something that happens a lot of times in life, and certainly in life with diabetes, so I hope you understand that. What I want to do now is just kind of summarize for you my strategy for eating on a keto diet. This is all built around what works for me and what I like within the parameters of a keto diet. It's not to say that this is the only way to do it. So the first thing is that for me, having a lot of variety in my diet is not important. I would prefer to eat the same thing, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, not have to think about things for approximately 85% of my meals, maybe even 90% of my meals. Occasionally, when I'm with friends or other people who enjoy going out to eat or like making food or doing something a little more elaborate, it's nice to kind of splurge, but as a routine, I don't want to have to spend time thinking, okay, what am I going to eat? What do I feel like making? How long does it take to prepare? Do I have the ingredients? All of this stuff. To me, I'm personally not interested in that. So keep in mind that that is a filter that I place over the way I approach eating on a ketogenic diet. I block everything basically based on meals, and I say, here's what I eat for breakfast, here's what I eat for lunch, here's what I eat for dinner, and then I have maybe one or two variations of each meal that I swap out interchangeably, and that's about as fancy as I get. So for breakfast, typically it starts like you saw this morning when I was on sort of a normal keel there, where eggs are about as much as I'm going to have for breakfast, and a lot of times I won't have breakfast because I don't feel like eating, and having eggs and bacon is just too much, unless it's a late breakfast around like 11 or 12, and at that point, if it's around 11 or 12, I can eat breakfast and usually feel pretty decent, but if it's before 10 in the morning, like this morning, I usually wind up feeling a little bit just like bloated and ick. So I don't typically eat breakfast. I just have a couple handfuls of nuts, a couple spoonfuls of almond butter, and I'll have some coffee with some ketogenic fat in it, like you saw. An alternative to this would be avocado, and I can't eat avocado personally because of the fact that I'm allergic, and I'm trying to naturally counteract that allergy and kind of train my body to deal with eating avocados again, because they are loaded with potassium, which is really important for maintaining the stable electrolytes and not feeling run down when you're on the keto diet, because electrolyte replenishment is super crucial, as I am finding out here. And avocados are a great source, way better than bananas, because bananas have a lot more carbs and they have, I think, a third as much potassium as avocados do. Plus, avocados are loaded with good fat. So that's something that you could easily interchange. In terms of the nuts that I like to eat, typically macadamia nuts are the preferred weapon, because they have a lot of fat, and they have very few carbs. They have salt on them. If you get the salted roasted ones, they're delicious. They're easy to transport. They have pretty much everything you're looking for and nothing that you want to avoid. They have almost no carbs, relatively speaking. So macadamia nuts are the way to go, and they are expensive, but if you get them off Amazon, you can get them at a pretty decent rate, and I'm going to link below here to the buy that I usually go for on Amazon. It's a 2-pound bag. I also interchangeably use Brazil nuts, because they're a little bit less fatty in their taste. They have the same relative fat content, but their taste reminds me a little bit more of coconut meat, and I like that. So those are the nuts that I'll typically eat. Sometimes cashew. Cashews when I'm in a pinch, and almond butter or peanut butter, although both of those tend to be more carb heavy and really give you less fat per spoonful. So those aren't necessarily something, the nut butters aren't things that I load up on. So that's what my breakfast looks like. Middle of the day, lunchtime for me usually falls sometime between 2 and 4 if I'm going to eat lunch. And when I say lunch, I don't really mean a full-on meal. Typically, it's another handful of nuts and maybe a tin of sardines with mustard. That's my one go-to lunch, because it's really portable, really easy, got a little bit of protein, got a lot of good fat, and it's delicious. The other thing that I will do, and I've gotten some flack for this when I admitted this on my blog, is that I will use meat ends. So like if you go to the deli, at least on the East Coast, you can go to the deli and you can ask for the ends. So when they cut down meat, like deli meats, they will take the ends and put them in a little bucket and then put the bucket in the fridge. And so what you have is you have really high-end, high quality, relatively speaking. I mean, you may have opinions about the, you know, deli meats being the biggest, most awful, evil conspiracy in the world, and if that's your view, well, I apologize for being imperfect, but honestly, it's a way to get high-end deli meat super cheap. Like, I can get it for $1.95 a pound, where I'm getting roast beef that is ordinarily like $12 a pound. And so you can get all these ends mixed and matched, because otherwise they just throw them out at the end of the day. And they don't do this in all states. I think some states, the health laws prohibit them from selling these things over the counter in the deli, but it never hurts to ask and find out. And so I'll take some of that lunch meat and I'll put some sauerkraut and a little mustard and a little bit of cheese, because you can get the cheese ends as well, and just roll that up almost like a little sushi roll, like a slice of roast beef, a little bit of sauerkraut, throw some mustard and a little dab of cheese in the middle. You roll that up and you have a sushi roll. You eat 2 or 3 of those. For me, it takes about a unit of insulin to cover that, and maybe a handful of nuts, and I'm golden. So that's what my lunch looks like. And I don't, you know, when I was working, when I was working in Boston and I was commuting and I had a little bit more of a regular job, I would prepare a salad, obviously with no croutons. You know, I put like a hard-boiled egg in there and I put some bacon bits and some other goodies to make it more interesting, like feta cheese, and I usually put some sunflower seeds in there, and then I would just use olive oil and balsamic vinegar. And that was my lunch there as well. And none of these taken individually sound like a lot of food, but honestly, when you get the fat in the morning, and that little bit is all it takes to keep you going through the day. So my lunch usually functions more as a snack than as a meal. Let's talk about dinner. Dinner is the one meal that is a little bit more variable for me because of the fact that dinner is usually more of a family meal. It involves other people. So breakfast time, everybody's kind of going their own way. Even when we're out in the trailer, it's usually every man for himself. Lilo wants to eat one thing, Stephanie wants to eat one thing, I want to eat the other thing. And so we're not necessarily joined to the choices that the other person is making. But usually dinner time, it's more of a communal meal where we all sit down together, or at least we are eating the same dish that has been centrally prepared instead of just grabbing a bag of macadamia nuts and a little bit of like coconut oil and some black tea and calling it good. So dinner time tends to be a little bit variable, and generally speaking, if we're here at my mother-in-law's, a lot of times she cooks, and she's a wonderful cook, and of course I'm not going to say no to eating her chicken, which is what she tends to make a lot of that I eat, and she makes rice and beans because Stephanie's family is Dominican, and that's traditional food that they eat, and the rice and beans are delicious for what that's worth, but I don't eat the rice and beans, I just eat a little bit of chicken. It's tricky to moderate the amount of chicken because I always want to eat more than I should, and then I always pay for it in terms of getting kicked out of ketosis, as I've been seeing here, and also in terms of just like my blood sugar going high usually overnight as a result of that. So moderate protein from whatever the meal is that has been prepared. It can be chicken. Sometimes I'll make a steak. Sometimes I actually like lamb because I found that lamb is relatively inexpensive and it is pretty high in fat. Sometimes also I will do sausages, and I'm not a huge fan of eating sausages just because of the fact that they contain a variety of different ingredients, and it's a little harder to identify the quality of everything that's in there other than just by the price tag. And so sausages can be a little suspect, but sometimes if there's nothing else, that's what I'll do for a meat. Or sometimes I will even just do another can of sardines, another can of herring, some sort of fish. And then again, have a handful of nuts or two, sometimes a little bit of dark chocolate to round that off. And that's it. So that is what a typical day of eating looks like for me. There are some other recipes that I have tried and that I will try from time to time, and I'm going to link below to a blog post on livingvertical.org that tells you this is what I eat basically on the keto diet. Typically, I've listed a bunch of foods in that blog post, but I don't always eat all of those foods. Most of the time, it's the fairly, one or two options per meal. That's usually what I'm looking at in most situations. And the hardest part with everything that I have found in terms of the food is getting enough fat and not getting too much protein, because as I've learned the hard way here, too much protein kicks you out of ketosis and basically can have a negative impact on the result that you're trying to achieve, both in terms of just generating ketones and being adapted to burning ketones, and also in terms of your blood sugar, because protein does raise blood sugar. It's same as carbs, except it just has a slower release profile. If you have questions, make sure to drop them below in a comment, and I can always do another video and extend the series out to 6 videos or 7 videos if we get questions that are meaty enough for me to answer them. I'd be happy to do that. Otherwise, just leave a comment and I'll do my best to answer with what I know, or point you in the direction of others who know more than I do. I believe that we can benefit as a whole in the long run from viewing this as an adventure and remembering that adventure is great medicine.